Alrighty, it is journal time once again for the Escape Artist Podcast. This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles. And yeah, it's journal time. It's kind of crazy because the way the feeds are gonna, the podcasts are gonna come out, it's very possibly gonna be like three in a cluster almost, like the last one I did, or the original one I did, because I actually did it a week ago, but it didn't really come out until this week. And then I recorded one yesterday, and I told people I was going to put that out pretty soon because you know, there's just, I put up a picture of some of the work I was doing for concept art or whatever from what I was talking about in the last episode. So I told people, oh, well, the next episode you'll find out about this. So I kind of got to put that one out too. And this one is kind of a time-sensitive one. So, well, not time-sensitive, but time-appropriate, I guess. I guess it's not vital that I put it out right now, but, you know, it's kind of cool if it's, like, a little bit real-time. So it's almost, like, going to be a bonus podcast. But generally, these podcasts will come out weekly. But, yeah, like I said, it's journal time. Basically, the story is what happened was right after I was done recording the last podcast yesterday. It wasn't like more than 10 minutes after or something like that. I get a call from my brother-in-law, who happens to be my boss at my second job, and I find out that my second job just laid off 11 people. So, and I was one of them. The reason why I was one of them is, makes a lot of sense actually, because I do like janitor work or whatever there. So it's a machine shop, and you know, obviously they're gonna keep as many of the machine guys on, but I'm pretty much low guy on the totem pole there, so. You know, I'm not surprised, and I'm okay with it anyways, because basically both of my jobs that I have are manual labor jobs, so I'm kind of glad that I'm not going to be doing it, because, and if I do take on a second job in the future, it's not going to be manual labor. I hope that can be the case, because you know, two manual labor jobs, highly physical jobs, I don't know if we call it manual labor, but they can wear down on you, especially when, you know, you have no time as it is, and, you know, I don't know, it just kills your time, it kills your energy. I mean, I'm a coffee addict right now because I'm constantly trying to be on the go, and, you know, my eating and sleeping habits aren't the greatest, so that messes up my energy and stuff too. Plus, I'm trying to like squeak out as much art and music stuff as I possibly can, which sometimes ends up being like nothing. Like, I'll go for a week or so and just not do anything because I just can't function really well, I guess, beyond doing the two jobs and stuff. It's another reason why these podcasts and stuff have not been regular. But yeah, so I lost my second job. Not here to whine and moan about it or anything, because honestly, I'm kind of relieved. I was kind of burning the candle at both ends a little too much, so it's kind of a blessing in disguise, I would think. And also, I've been gearing up recently, working on my website, as I've been talking about, and getting the podcast going, going with these Facebook groups, and trying to work on some art projects. I've really been trying to get as many ducks in a row as I possibly can to prepare for, you know, more activity. and hopefully driving more traffic to the website, which I haven't mentioned yet, plexhop.com. Shameless plug. But yeah, so, man, there's so much that I kind of want to talk about, but basically, you know, what the point is, I guess, now is this is going to give me an opportunity to try really hard and be extremely motivated, because I do need extra money, you know, for the things that my second job kind of was helping us get by with. And you know, I'm going to be talking about, or basically I'm going to be pushing more towards things that would possibly pay. I mean, it's not a ton of money to make up, so it's actually kind of cool, because it'll be a, you know, kind of a baby step type of thing, like a small goal to make, you know, a small amount of money each week. And if hopefully it'll become a lot of money each week or something, you know. But you know, I'm gonna try to push it with the art and the music and stuff. One thing I know though is I'm gonna do my best not to kind of be in panic mode with it, because you know, you don't. I think that when you look desperate, when you are desperate, when you are in panic mode, that's not really a good way to kind of approach trying to make money and stuff, and especially with something like art and music. You know, I don't want to go and just spam everybody, and honestly, I just think that doesn't even work anyways. I mean, it works to a certain degree, but you're not building trust, you're not building, like, good relationships that way. You're pushing your stuff and not, like, I prefer to for the soft sell and to pull people in more. A book that talks about that I've been really into is The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk, and also his book Crush It is awesome too. But The Thank You Economy really gets into this, where he's talking about, you know, being more, you know, of a pull instead of a push with your marketing and stuff, and just basically it's a description of how the economy is right now, like, you know, our markets and stuff. Like, we're in this time of where relationships count and high touch situations count, maybe more than they used to. You know, you can't just be like a cold, huge, cold corporate, you know, company, you know, pushing out advertisements on every possible platform you can find with that costs a lot of money. You can, that still works, that there's still principles in that are effective, but the playing field has been leveled more, so that somebody, you know, an individual can kind of rise up and with a lot of caring for their customers and just high touch, like answering and responding to emails and comments and things on Facebook and Twitter, and just more relationship type of things are actually what cause people to want to buy more. And it's also just better, you know. I mean, it's kind of cool that one of the best marketing schemes, quote unquote, right now that you can do is basically be a good human being, you know, which I'm all for that. I mean, I'm not trying to be manipulative about it, you know. I think I try to be a good human being anyways. This is, you know, really kind of pushing that and kind of just doing it with a marketing and, you know, with marketing in mind, stuff is basically, it's a good look, you know, right now. So anyways, that's one thing, you know, I'm thinking about. And, but, you know, I got to try to do it without panicking, which I'm not really in a panic mode because it's not a ton of money I'm losing. You know, I still have my, you know, my bread and butter job, and that should continue for a while. We're doing pretty well there. So, you know, I should be able to make up the money even with just a little bit of effort. But, you know, I do want to make this art and music into a business that's sustainable full time. So that's already my goal, but maybe I'm hoping this will help me get more focused on that path. And I've already been, it's kind of coming at a good time because I've already been, you know, like I said, getting my ducks up in a row and, you know, trying to prepare myself for more activity. So that's what's going on with that. I'm gonna be basically what I wanted to do was kind of explore some possible options, because another podcast that I listen to, I listen to a lot of art and comic book type of podcasts, writing podcasts, things like that, but and also some spiritual you know, faith things, because that's a big part of my life. And then the other thing that I listen to a lot is kind of business-oriented podcasts. And I, you know, it's tough because everybody and their mother are doing, like, business blogs, business podcasts, all kinds of business content on the web, and everybody's got their little quick scheme to get money and this and that. So it's kind of tough to sometimes to weed through all the stuff, you know, that's not so great. But I have found some really good ones that I like, that I don't know, that are inspiring and not like five ways to like earn $1 million tomorrow type of things, you know. But you know, so one of the podcasts that I listen to is called 48 Days Podcast with Dan Miller, and it's really good. He gives a lot of good business advice for people who either want to find a new job in the current regular like marketplace, like going out to a regular job type of situation, and for people who want to be entrepreneurs and you know, start up their own business and stuff. And I like his podcast because it's not like, it doesn't make me feel anxious at the end. It makes me feel inspired and excited, and I don't know, like, it's just kind of well-balanced emotional advice, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes these guys try to get you all riled up and stuff, and they want you to like click on their thing and you know, buy their ebook and this and that, and they're really pushing their stuff, and you know, they always have like five tips for you to like freaking, you know, have a successful life or something, you know. And this guy, you know, he has those kind of tips, but they're more like sound advice, stuff from experience, just, I don't know. So yeah, I really like his podcast. One thing he suggests is that when going out to try to get a job or or trying to figure out what business you want to start, I think he says 40, but I heard him say the other day 20, so I'm going with that, because, I don't know. But, basically, he says come up with 20 ideas of things you want to do and start weeding them out through them and see which stuff you wouldn't want to do and stuff you would want to do. For me, I know that what I want to do, it has to be art and music related in some way, shape, or form. So I'm going to just kind of run through some ideas off the top of my head here and kind of lay it out for you. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a good journal exercise to kind of get thinking about this stuff. And hopefully it'll be something that will inspire you guys to think, you know, more about some options you might have for your art and music, or just art. A lot of the people who listen to this are more on the art side of things. So, and I just want to say a shout out to Paul Kijiji and Ted Secco and all the other people who maybe haven't said anything but are listening to this podcast. You know, those two have expressed that they listened and enjoyed the last podcast. So thanks for commenting, letting me know that you're listening. And just thank you for listening. You know, it's really amazing that anybody would listen to me, because I'm just like some dude trying to do art out here. And, you know, I love the medium of podcasting. I love listening to them, and I can't help but want to get in the game of it, or I don't know if it's, I like to call it the game or whatever, but just the community, I guess, of it, you know, in actually producing the podcast. I can't help wanting to be involved in that. So that's why I'm, basically a big reason why I'm doing that, this. So, let's see, let's start coming up with some things. I've already thought a lot about a lot of these things. So that's why I know I can kind of come off the top of my head a little bit with this, but, all right, so I'm going to try to think of some things that are more physical things. This is for, like, a second job, for supplemental income to, you know, pay some gas and maybe some extra groceries or something like that. So, you know, I could go work at anywhere, like McDonald's or something. Not gonna do that. I've done it before. When I was younger, I've worked in fast food before, and certainly not something I enjoy. So scratch that off the list. You know, I could go try to find some kind of traditional job. But what I do want to do is, if I were to find some kind of thing like that, it would have to be something that isn't labor intensive, and that is just different than things I've done in the past, because it seems like everything I've ever done in the past has been like warehouse work or delivery work or just stuff that is pretty much, you know, not so much thinking but just doing physical things. So I'm trying to veer away from that, and honestly I think, you know, it's makes more sense for me to look into something that has to do with my passions, because I'm going to do a lot better at something I'm actually into than things that I really could care less about. So some of the things I'm thinking is, like, maybe I could go work at Staples or Office Max or something, and in the print shop or something. I wouldn't mind doing that. It would help me to learn more about just the physical process of putting different things together, books, printing, color, copies, you know, black and white, all that stuff, processing the things through the computer, getting it set up right. I mean, it's simple, it's extreme simple version of printing and stuff, basically learning how to use a machine. But, you know, it couldn't hurt, and it would be related, and it would be something maybe that I could easily get, possibly. So, maybe, I don't know, maybe I can't get it, maybe it would be tough, I don't know, but, you know, so that's an option. not too bad of a way to do it. Another idea is, see if I could farm out some of these, little mom and pop print shops, who maybe even do screen printing and stuff like that, and, you know, and obviously I might even be able to get a discount printing up my own books and stuff like that through doing either like a Staples or one of these mom and pop shops. So that's another option. it would definitely be cool to try and see if I could get in there. I have a feeling that they wouldn't pay too well. My last second job was $10 an hour, which I think is kind of pretty good for a second job that's just like something you do like 8, 10 hours a week, you know. It's not bad. Obviously, I would love to make a lot more than that, but I think it would be probably kind of tough to match that, honestly, in a second job trading time for money. So it's going to be kind of tough. So I think at one of these mom and pop shops, they might even try to bring me in as an apprentice or something and not pay me at first. I don't know. So it's kind of hard to see myself going to one of these jobs. The only reason I took the second job up in the first place was because, you know, it was $10 an hour and I could work up to 20 hours if I wanted to. And I could have a very flexible schedule, so I could go in whenever I needed to. So that it kind of presented itself as something I couldn't really pass up, even though I didn't really even want to take the job. So I took it, but you know, basically, I'm kind of the other idea I had that was up this kind of alley was graphic design. Like maybe I could try to work for one of these graphic design companies, but I don't know if they ever have part-time people or not. But like I said, the big thing with all that is I kind of don't think I'll make enough money to make it worth my while, because I really can't put much more than like 8 hours into a second job like that. You know, it's just I have too many obligations at home to do that. Unfortunately, I'm not the type of person who can kind of, because of my circumstances, that can lose a lot of home time, because there's some certain things, like my wife has physical issues and I need to help her out with that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what's up with that. Even the 8 hours I was working a week extra was really putting a strain on things. So, but if I'm working at home, that's kind of a different story. I can, you know, put more time in even than 8 hours. In fact, I already probably put in another like 4 hours every week, plus on top of the two jobs. I was already, you know, doing my best to put in some more hours and stuff. I can't let this music and art thing die, you know. So, you know, so that's kind of the outside options that I'm thinking. Trying to work through this stuff in my mind. The in-house options. Well, I have my website, plextop.com. That will continue no matter what I do, God willing. You know, and so should I focus on just 100% focus on driving traffic to my site so that people will click on things? And I mean, I can't do affiliate stuff so much. Like I can't do an Amazon affiliate or probably an AdSense affiliate thing, because unfortunately the laws in Connecticut, they passed a law recently where it, like, you can do that, but the thing is because it's the tax issue or whatever is so, I guess, complicated, or they did something so that, like, Amazon was just like, all right, well, honestly, we're not even going to deal with that. Because they're putting the burden on these big companies. They're not putting the burden on the actual business person. Like, it should be my responsibility to make sure my taxes, you know, I'm paying taxes on my business ventures and stuff like that. But they're putting it on, you know, sites like Amazon. So Amazon just said, all right, well, and, you know, Connecticut affiliate people are cut off, you know, from putting links on their site for affiliate stuff. And there might be a way around it. Maybe there's like some kind of tax form or something I can write out, or some kind of agreement I can write out to bypass that. I'd love to know if any of you know a way around that. You know, definitely please let me know, because I would like to have some links here and there for some extra little supplemental income. But that's not, you know, that's not what I've focused on in the past. And even if you do work really hard at getting a lot of traffic to your site and, you know, focus on affiliate links and stuff like that, from what I hear, it, unless you get like a ton of traffic, you know, it's really just a kind of a small supplement. People use it as like, you know, I've heard people use the term pizza money. So like they use it to maybe get a meal every week or something, you know, or it's maybe just helps with some of the hosting costs or something. So that's, I do believe you can make actually a ton of money with it, but, you know, it takes a lot of work and probably a lot of really intelligent SEO optimization, which, you know, I only know so much about, and I'm not looking to get, if I'm getting into the SEO realm, I'm getting into it incrementally, applying things, you know, here and there. I'm not going to be like trying to be gaming the system or anything. I want to focus on my art and my music. So that's that option. But a website, another thing I've learned from this 48 Days podcast is that a website is almost like a vending machine business, because it really has to do with people passing by, you know, traffic coming through, clicking on links, or they have change in their pocket for a vending machine and they're just like, oh, well, yeah, I want a snack, or I need a soda or something, or whatever. So the vending machine businesses that make a lot of money are places where they can put them in places where there's constantly a lot of traffic. But that's a tough market as well, because the places that have a lot of traffic, usually if it's a business or something, the actual like Walmart or something, like that business will own the vending machine instead, because they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to pass up, you know, some extra money because, and give it to some other little contractor or something. So they actually end up owning the vending machines and making the money off of that kind of stuff. So, not that I want to go into the vending machine business, but that's something that Dan Miller was talking about on the 48 Days podcast. And he was talking about how the internet kind of makes that model, like it's a good model, but it's not easy. But it actually, the internet makes that model a lot easier, and that's actually how he makes a lot of money with his website. He does these profiles, the like the psychological profiles for businesses and stuff like that, so that they can kind of help their employees and stuff progress, or in the hiring process and stuff like that. So he makes a lot of money, I guess, with that. But anyways, so, you know, there's the model with the links and advertising and all that stuff, clicks and all that junk, which I think will be a part of my website at different extents, but not the focus. So now let's get into some other like kind of internet from home type of things. Etsy, that's one place I've worked and tried to get some traction in the past. With, you know, I've gotten like 4 or 5 sales there, and it's usually has been more in the custom things, like let me draw like a custom, it's usually in graffiti actually, like I think I got 3 graffiti sales of just drawing a custom graffiti name and coloring it, which it was kind of cool to do that. I didn't love it because I do love and have in the past done a lot of graffiti drawing in my like sketchbook and stuff, but I, you know, I don't really do it on walls and stuff. I don't really believe so much in vandalism, even though I love seeing it, especially good stuff. But you know, I've done it in my sketchbooks and stuff a lot, and gotten a certain amount of skill, but I feel like I'm not as good as a lot of people. So I guess that kind of makes me feel like maybe I shouldn't be doing it. But I don't know, maybe I'll still try. You got to start from somewhere, right? So maybe I'll ramp that up again, the graffiti, get your name in graffiti thing on Etsy. Or the only thing with Etsy, though, is, you know, you have to pay 20 cents per listing, and Etsy kind of thrives on the community of Etsy, I notice. Like, and the thing is the community of Etsy, as awesome as I think it is, isn't necessarily my demographic or whatever. So, like, I mean, it's more crafty, like, people who like to make little cute things, or like to make, you know, jewelry or clothing, or, you know, the kind of stuff you'd see in like a little craft shop or something. And, you know, there are cool things that I like, but those tend to not be the stuff that sells so much. And from my experience, I mean, I put up a lot of art cards and stuff on there, and excuse me, unless you draw like a lot of animals, or like, I don't know, again, not so much in my demographic, more like cutesy things or pretty things, type of things. Like, I'm more into comic books and stuff, and people are doing stuff with that too, but they're doing, you know, stuff that's not their own property, which the legalities in that isn't quite great. You know, I'm not trying to kind of live off of other people's properties, and I think that kind of hurts, you know, trying to work on living off your own properties, and or building up your own property so you can make some money with that. And, you know, that's what I primarily want to do, is create my own original things, whether it be comic books or music or, you know, art or whatever, you know. So, you know, it might not be the right market for my kind of thing. It might be. Maybe I didn't push hard enough. I'm going to pause the recording here. Alrighty, I'm back. So, what were we talking about? We were talking about Etsy. And that as a possibility for making money. So, yeah, I've done like ACOs and stuff, or art cards or whatever, and I'm trying to think if I've ever, yeah, I did sell some, but it's, you know, when I sell stuff, 9 times out of 10, it's to a friend or a family member. It's funny, like, the art cards I did sell were locust, like, my little cartoony locust cards, which are, like, you know, that's for my crew. Shadow of the Locust is like a crew I'm involved in with hip hop, and the guy who founded it, like, back in like 1995 or something, his rap name is Dirt, and he's like the leader of the group or whatever. And it's funny, because I put these Locust cards out thinking, oh well, I can, maybe some Locust people who are fans of the music will want to buy him or something, and he bought him. and I'm like, and every time I would make one, he'd buy it, which is awesome, you know, awesome for the support. But I'm like, you're gonna go, you know, broke if I keep making these things, because I know he doesn't necessarily have a ton of money either. And you know, he's buying them for like $10-$12 a pop for these little art cards that I'm like, I can't believe you're buying them. But, you know, so, like I said, they're, like, to friends and family. Like, it's not necessarily, like, I don't know, Paul Kijiji was talking about on his podcast Process Diary at processdiary.com. He was talking about, you know, who are we marketing to and stuff like that. He's been kind of on that rant lately a lot. And trust me, it's something I've thought about a lot too. You know, it seems like we kind of cannibalize each other and buy each other's stuff. It's like, I'll go on, you know, one of these guys' site, like, say, Ted Secco or something. I'll go and buy one of his things. And then next thing I know, he came and he bought one of my things. So it's like, well, why didn't we just trade? Because now we're just buying each other's stuff and nobody's really, in the end, making any money. It's kind of silly, but it's still fun because I like to collect these things. All these artists that I am into, I look up to their stuff and I want to collect their stuff. And, you know, everybody likes to be in on stuff from the beginning and stuff. And it's fun. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, we got to find a different market. You know, maybe I should keep making, you know, locust drawings and then go try to market to, like, I don't know, bug people who are into insects and bugs, which are usually kids, but who don't buy things, so I don't know. But I don't know. So we're gonna, that's one thing I'm looking to explore, is what are different markets we can get in, and that makes sense. People outside of our little art community and stuff. Although I do 100,000 times am grateful for artists who do buy my stuff from time to time. So that's definitely cool. I mean, I like to hear what my peers are saying about it, or any kind of feedback, or if they buy stuff, it shows support, and it's really encouraging when another artist, actually especially encouraging when another artist buys your stuff, because it's like, well, they understand, so, like, they're buying your stuff and appreciating it. Like, what better compliment to get than from somebody who, you know, understands art and music and stuff. You know, that they're saying that, basically, by buying something, they're kind of saying, you know, your stuff is cool, your stuff is good, I like it, you know. And I don't know, it just seems like it makes more of an impact sometimes when it comes from another artist, especially one who you already like their stuff or whatever, you know. So yeah. So Etsy is, it's something to look into. Maybe I'll push more on that again. But like I said, the market seems not to be quite where I would should focus, maybe. But maybe I should. Maybe I can make stuff that's more marketable for that arena. So we'll see. The other thing I was thinking of recently is commissions. People do a lot of commissions. Seems like some people like make a decent amount of money from it. And I think the thing with commissions is doing popular characters in your style. So that's, I mean, I don't know if I have a style. I kind of have a style now. I have like a simple style. It's not necessarily my end style, but basically I've been kind of going for this sort of underground comic / trippy hip-hop graffiti type of character style, cartoony, which is kind of weird because I've been more of a fan in the past, at least, to comic books with like detailed art. Like, I was a big fan of all the Image guys and stuff, and like McFarlane was a big one, and I used to always say Wills Portacio was my favorite artist, which is definitely more on the realism side of things, and nice, like, slick, smooth lines. I still like his stuff, but, and all those other guys, I still like all their stuff. You know, Eric Larson's got a really cool, kind of almost Kirby-esque style to a certain degree, shape-wise and stuff, but you know, he brought in some of that, like, really loose, sketchy cross-hatching type of stuff. And, you know, I've always been attracted to that stuff. Like, Jonathan Rechter is, like, amazing. Like, he gets a lot of influence from Greg Capullo, who is also someone who's really amazing with their art. Ryan Ottley, really big fan of his stuff. He does the Invincibles comic, or Invincible comic, or whatever it is, that Kirkman writes. You know, there's tons of people out there that I like their art, but it's funny, like, that I'm doing cartoony stuff, because it's not necessarily the genre, or I shouldn't say genre, but the style that that I've been attracted to. So, yeah, I mean, I do like cartoony stuff, but it's not, like, I've always thought I was going to try to do more realistic stuff, but I don't know, maybe that's not my thing, I don't know. I definitely am way more attracted to the cartoony, trippy stuff that I'm doing now than I used to be attracted to that kind of stuff. A lot of people recently brought to my attention James Stokoe, or Stokoe, or something like that. And because he did that Kickstarter recently that went almost to $100,000, which is crazy. And I got that. you know, put money into that Kickstarter, so I should be getting that book, hopefully. I don't know when they're going to put it out, but anyways, his stuff is, like, super, like, trippy, kind of cartoony, but he brings in, like, a ton of detail, and I like that kind of stuff. It's fun, and I think it is kind of an influence. I may go that route more and more eventually, but part of it is my skill level too. I got to kind of keep it simple for now, and then and efficient, and as I can start adding things and getting quicker with my drawing, I'll start doing that probably. So we'll see. But so the point is that I think I do have a somewhat distinct style right now. It's not, like I said, my end style, but I think that's what you need to do kind of well in the commissions thing. That's at least one thing, is, you know, kind of do other properties but in your style. And that's the problem again. Like, if I can do commissions that aren't other people's properties, that would be awesome, but I don't know if there's really a market for that. I don't really know. Is there? I mean, if you guys know of some examples of people who do that, I'd definitely like to see their stuff or see how they're doing stuff. But, you know, it seems to me when I see people do commissions, they're doing, you know, Wolverine and Batman and Spider-Man and stuff, and which is cool, and people do get away with it, and I think the comic companies don't kind of look down on it as much as you would think. But, so I don't know, maybe I should try to go that route, at least to just kind of get a little money here and there, but I don't want to make my living off of it. You know, it wouldn't be a long-term goal. My long-term goal would to maybe do commissions, but maybe kind of like a rock band or something would start out with doing a lot of cover songs and then work their way towards doing their originals more. Maybe I should kind of look at it like that and try to do that. So I probably will open up commissions soon. I've been looking into it. We'll see. I mean, I would say I am open for commissions even now, but I haven't, like, put up a page on my site for it yet. So I think I will possibly try that route. Another thing I've been thinking about, and I've actually been working towards, is a few things. I made 3 buttons on my site recently that connect to pages that you know, basically tell about the specific service or whatever. And I still have to work on them. I actually have to totally rehash one of them. But the 3 buttons are so far, and I even have more ideas for things I could do. But I don't want to make it too ad heavy on my front page. But all right, I'll go from like kind of the simplest to the one that I'm actually considering pushing more. One of them is my button for buy my beats, basically. I'm not focusing on beats right now. I'm not making a lot of new beats, and if I do, I'll probably make it for a specific project I'm working on, so I'm kind of not pushing that, but I do have a lot of old beats in my arsenal where I can possibly make some money. And I started using this website called rockbattle.com, and it's basically you can lease out beats. So you can sell beats over and over for like a small price, like $10. And I actually did make a little money on that, but I don't like how they handle their money so much. They seem to be very easy to get their payment automatically from your account, because it does cost like $6 a month. But when it comes to paying you the money that you earned, well, I got like $20, and you know, I earned about $58 altogether, and I got $20 of it, and I don't know if the other rest of it's coming or not. And I've emailed them, and you know, they're like, oh, well, we had to check and see if you were a real person and this and that, like all these excuses. But they say these specific dates of when you're going to get your money, and then you don't get it. So I don't know, you know, what I don't really want to continue with that, especially since you have to pay for the service. So I'm actually going to take that down off my site and just kind of run it through PayPal buttons, I think. And this way I have more control over it. And actually, you know what I might do is use Bandcamp, because it's more automatic. I don't have to send somebody a file every time they buy something or whatever. So I'm thinking of doing some restructuring my whole beat thing that way. And I think I'm going to make it into a blog where each post is like talking about a specific beat and my thought process maybe for making the beat or the vibe or things that were influences or whatever. Just kind of make it a blog post and put them out maybe one a week or something. So that's one thing I'm thinking of doing to make money. Leases and exclusives. I don't know how much I'm going to do exclusives, because I'm not actively making beats right now. We'll see. So there's that. I mean, I've had a lot of this stuff up on my site, but the problem is I haven't taken the time to work hard at driving traffic to it. I have blog posts that sit there for 3, 4, 5 months at a time without being updated. You know, I need to be updating weekly and even daily if possible. So there's that button. The other one I have is, what do I have up there? Collab with Plex. There's a button that says collab with Plex. So if somebody wants to come and, you know, have me do a verse on one of their songs or something, you know, I'm willing to do it. And the way I structured that model is I'm trying it out, and like I said, I haven't driven traffic to it yet, so, you know, my unsuccessfulness is my own fault at this point. But the model I use is a donate button. You know, you can actually get a collab from me for free if you really want, but I put the donate button, I put like a page up, and it says, you know, I'd love to collab with you, this is what you get when you do a collaboration with me. You know, to support, please donate some money, but you know, you don't have to, basically, type of thing. So I don't know, maybe that will generate some income. You know, if people could even throw like $10-$20 my way. You know, it does take time to do a verse and put it out there, but the thing with that is I feel okay with making it even free, because one, if I do a verse on somebody's song, it's automatic promotion for me, so it's like advertising I don't have to pay for. And two, writing lyrics is like my favorite thing to do. Like I said in my last podcast, I've kind of put my 10,000 hours in doing that. Like, I've gotten to a point where I'm good enough where I can put something really cool together in, like, you know, 20 minutes or an hour, 20 minutes to an hour or something. I can have a real pretty awesome verse, I think. You know, it's not, I'm not saying I'm the best rapper or whatever, but it's something I like to do. I love writing, so it's like not even a chore for me. Like, I just enjoy doing it, and I can go in the that night and literally record. So I even put like within 48 hours I'll get the verse to you. So that's something I'll have to adhere to, you know. But I'm gonna try to push, you know. That's kind of just a passive, well, it's not passive because I have to do work, but the button, it's like that vending machine thing. Like, you know, people can come through my site if they're coming for, if they're artists, like lyricists and stuff, and they're, you know, they're curious about collabing with me. Maybe they'll see a blog post and be like, oh, there's like an easy way to collab with this guy, so maybe I'll do that, you know. So it's just kind of to catch a few fish here and there, you know. Not to belittle the situation, I'd be 100% grateful for anybody who wants to take me up on that offer. And I like building relationships through doing collaborations like that, so it's really cool. So there's that. And then the last button I put up is album artwork. I'm thinking of really focusing on this. And what I did, the model I did for this one, is I put, like I said, I put up a page specifically for it. And I said, you know, quick turnaround. And there's a specific price, and I can't remember exactly what I think I put it for $150 to do an album cover, like the illustration, just the illustration, meaning, you know, either black and white to color in inks and stuff like that. It's kind of a low price. I'm even thinking of possibly lowering it a little bit just to get started. The prices will rise eventually, more and more, like incrementally. But starting out, I think it wouldn't be right for me to try to charge like $200, $300. I know you can make a lot more from doing album covers, but the thing is too, I got to consider my market. The people who I would do album covers for are most likely independent, underground artists who really don't have a lot of money to spend on that kind of thing. But I'm not going to do it for free, and if I were to do it for like $50, I mean, I might do it as a promotion or something, or, you know, for a very small amount of time, do it, you know, just to kind of, like, maybe as a contest or something. I might even do one for free as a contest or something like that, but, you know, something like $50 is almost not even worth my time. I mean, that's like kind of the breaking point, you know. But, you know, at the same time, I'll still probably, I might bring it down to something like that for a little small time, but it's going to go back up to like 100 something, you know, rather quickly. But yeah, so that's kind of my thought process with that. And I'm kind of thinking that it might be a gateway to other quoted illustrations work. So it's almost like a little like introductory illustration work. I get these people's names and emails and start building a list of customers. And, you know, then maybe I can start either raising the prices or getting some more work from them. So I'm thinking about pushing that. There's a lot of avenues I could go to push that. Searching on Twitter and stuff, and possibly like contacting some indie record labels, and, you know, even major record labels possibly. But I'd like to get some more album covers under my belt. Two of them that are, I have a little four album cover portfolio that's sitting there because I've done four on that page, and two of them I'm really proud of. I'm proud of all of them, but The other two I actually did for free, and this was like when I was really just starting out learning how to do GIMP, work on GIMP and stuff, and I really had no experience, so I wasn't sure how to get the lines to look all nice and stuff. Like, and the drawings aren't all that great because I'm a better artist, I think, now. I've done a lot more practice since then. So, but the concept is cool and the design is great and the colors came out good. And like that, if there's anything I have a strength in, it's design, like just a natural strength. But, you know, it's something I have to learn more about too. But I've always, any teachers I've ever had or any classes I've ever taken, they've always said I kind of have a natural kind of design sense. I'm not saying I do it perfectly every time. I probably have made a lot of bad designs, but it just seems to be something that I can do pretty decently. So I think that's what kind of stands out, even though sometimes the art or the technical aspects of the piece isn't so great. The design is there, and if I can just kind of boost up my quality with the drawing part and the digital part and all that stuff, then I think, you know, I could possibly make some money with album covers and stuff. So that's another thing I'm working on. The only thing is I have one album cover I'm working on right now, but the way I set it up wasn't the way I'm setting it up now. Like, I quoted basically a price, which was actually $150, but the person's paying me an incrementally. And I don't know if I like that model so much, because I'm not motivated to finish it, because, you know, I've only gotten paid partially, and then, you know, I don't know. So, like, but I'm going to get paid more, like, he is going to pay, and I do trust the guy to pay me and stuff, but, you know, that'll be the last one I think that I do where I don't just get paid up front. And a lot of that's my own fault, because I'm not used to this, and I'm still learning, you know, how to do it. And for these album covers, I am going with a model. It's a cheap enough price for me to basically, you know, say, you know, you got to pay me up front, or else, you know, we're not going to do it. But I'm also promising a quick turnaround. So maybe I should put a specific time on it. I don't know. But it's going to take me at least a week probably to get something done. Like, I have to at least give myself that much room, because I don't always have time to sit there and work on an album cover. So I don't know, maybe I should just bite the bullet and be like, I'll get it to you in 24 hours or something crazy, but I don't know. So that's kind of the thought process behind that. This is going a little bit long. I could probably go on with a lot of other possible ideas for making money. But I actually did this in a podcast, not, you know, it was one of the earlier Escape Artist podcasts too. But it wasn't fueled by, it was fueled by a lot less knowledge, and it wasn't fueled by kind of, all right, now I need to make some money because I lost my second job. So, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of other ideas. I was thinking of, like, some of these different websites, like 99designs.com, I've been kind of looking into. If you've seen my little genie drawing thing I did recently, that was one that I submitted for 99designs that didn't come through. It's tough to do that because you have to do the work and you might not win, you know, get the job or whatever. So it's like you're doing a bunch of work maybe for nothing, but I'm at a low enough level where it does make sense for me to do it, only because I'm still building up my portfolio, so I can use those pieces for portfolio pieces if they don't go through. So I might work on that. It's kind of cool because I kind of think of it as like, it's like a much more possible way to win the lottery. Like, when you go and play the lottery, you're going up against, like, a huge amount of people, and, you know, you most likely won't win. With this, I'm going up against, you know, I don't know, 10 to 100 people. a lot less, and it has more to do with my skill and ability than it has to do with just randomly getting picked. So I think it might be a good idea to try to take on some of these design projects through that site, but it's not really a guarantee, any guarantee, and my level of skill is still not even close to the professionalism that I see on some of the people on that site. So that's kind of, it's also going to help me get my skill up. So we'll see. I might do some of those, but I can't really bet on it. I'm thinking of smaller incremental payments of different things. I also have some ideas for music, trying to get some more music out, and maybe some different ideas of selling that music, even at $1 per song or something. Or, you know, it's tough. You know, if you don't give it away for free, people don't care, and people don't even care if you give it away for free sometimes. So music is kind of a strange thing. So we'll see. I've noticed people like my instrumentals sometimes more than my actual music, like especially in the art community. Possibly part of that is because it's Christian, you know, faith-driven content a lot of times, and you know, a lot of my art friends aren't really interested in faith stuff, which is fine. I'm cool with that. I'm a human, you know. I'm cool with having all kinds of friends of all different kinds of backgrounds and stuff. And my faith is a personal faith, you know. I don't try to push it on people and stuff too much. Like, it's mostly, if I push it, it's more like through my music, just because I'm expressing myself, and my faith is just going to come through, you know. But that's just how that is. But so, you know, that I can understand why some people might not want to buy my music, but maybe the instrumental thing I should push a little more, because you know, that way they don't have to feel like they're listening to something they don't agree with or something. So who knows? I don't know. So there's that. Trying to just think of some of the, threadless.com, the t-shirt thing. I used to always want to make t-shirts, and now it's easy to make t-shirts, or not easy, but like there's some really cool ways to make some money with it, and I'm not as motivated anymore. But there's also a lot of people who are doing it way better than I feel like I could do, so I don't know. But sometimes the best way of getting any success is just showing up. So, you know, we'll see. There's also comics, obviously, and stuff, but we all know how lucrative that can be. So I'm not betting the farm on that. I'm just making that because I love it, and I'm never going to stop, you know, working on projects like that. That's my bread and butter, and the business model for that is basically, at least what I'm thinking, is the branding of myself as an artist and musician, and people wanting to buy through that because of that. And also, it's kind of a portfolio, a pseudo portfolio for illustration work. And also the other model for that is properties and licensing, and getting it to a place where it's so popular that you can make some money through that means. So that's kind of the long con, you know. It's it's a long term thing that I'll always be working on, and it's definitely something I'd like to get going with some monetary situations, but it's not something I'm betting on, especially right now. I need some quicker fixes at the moment, something to build off of, you know. So I'm starting small, and I'm cool with that, you know. I'm not panicking. I'm like I said, I should be fine with money and stuff, but I am going to be putting in a much stronger effort to push some of these things, so, or pull people in. So anyways, that's what's going on. Wanted to journal about this quick after it happened, you know, because it's fresh and I think when it comes to a journal podcast, it's good to do it that way. If it gets stale, you lose motivation and you forget things you wanted to say and stuff. So that's what's going on, you know. Like I said, thank you so much for listening, and come by the site. I'm going to have show notes and stuff up for these next episodes and for all these episodes, and you know, check out some of my stuff. And thanks for being involved in the community and all these different platforms that we've all been conversing on. You guys are a huge encouragement to me, and I'm just happy to be part of this community of artists who support each other. So that's about it. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you next week. All right, later.